Discipleship, following the Lord, is not performing. Is abiding in Him, resting in Him, trusting Him. Silently, we spend time with Him. We read the Word. We meditate on His Word. We think through. We pray. We commit things to Him. And the Lord helps us to become people who follow Him.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, June 29th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Who is Jesus? And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? There's a text in Matthew 16, and we're going to look at it, verse 13 and on, where Jesus, before He begins to consider the fact that He's going to die in Jerusalem, has one question to His disciples. And so let's look at Matthew 16. And it's an amazing passage of Scripture that I think would speak to our hearts and to our lives. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, now this is in Galilee, and this is away from the power centers, away from where Jewish communities were. This is a Gentile area, and this is a place where there are many temples, pagan gods, and all kinds of things like that. And so quite a setting for Jesus to, as He gathers His disciples, He says to His disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And that's a question that He poses. And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So then He turns around and He says, but what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And then I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. May God bless the reading of His word. Amen. I'd like to talk to you about secondhand faith. Jesus is asking a question, and He says to His disciples, who do people say that I am? You could ask that question to your coworkers. You can ask questions like that to people around you. You could ask questions to a person in the street. You can have a television program, and you could interview people in the street and say, who do you think Jesus is? And they're going to give you answers. I mean, real answers that make no sense. But they give you some sort of an answer. But in this time, the disciples were able to say to Jesus that He had been bestowed upon Him titles of great excellence. For they say, some say John the Baptist, and he was a great man. Others say Elijah, absolutely important. Another Jeremiah. And you know, to be called those titles was quite amazing. They recognized Jesus as somebody who was very important. And it was important because those names were attributed to the future coming of Messiah. But, you know, everybody has ideas about who Jesus is. And though those ideas were good, they were not really the exact correct interpretation of who Jesus was or is. And today, many people have ideas about Jesus, and some of them are very respectful, and others are very distant, to say the least. But what troubles me this morning is to say that even believers today live off secondhand belief. They depend on what the pastor says. They depend on a podcast that they read or heard. They depend on what the parents have said. And it becomes difficult because most of us have a concept of Christ with what I call secondhand faith. Well, I believe this way because my grandma believed this way. or my father believes this way. It's like reading somebody's journal, you know. It doesn't change you. It may give you facts about what grandma believes, what mother believes, what uncle believes, what dad believes, whatever, but it doesn't really change you. You just become acquainted with facts that are important, of course, but you have not lived them. You have not experienced the truth about who Jesus really is. When we went to Spain, and you guys helped us get to Spain, and I was seeing some pictures of that the other day, I remember seeing a documentary, a travel documentary, and it was beautiful. But when I got there, it was completely different. And sometimes our belief in Christ is like, you know, looking at a travel documentary, but until you don't get there, you don't really know exactly what you are experiencing and what you are seeing. You gotta be there to know what that is about. As a matter of fact, one of the cities that we visited in Spain was the one that Wilma didn't necessarily thought it was gonna be the best. She thought, no, I don't wanna go there. But we went anyway because I said, we went there anyway. And when we got there, it was the most beautiful city, and that's the one that we liked the most. See, you gotta get there to really have an opinion, to have a valuable opinion, to have an informed opinion. You gotta get there. And when it comes to knowing Christ, you can hear a lot of people telling you about who Christ is, who Jesus is, but you must get there. You must let Jesus speak to you and you speak to Jesus to really understand who Jesus is. A great, great, great theologian of all times said that the first duty of love is to listen. And we must listen, slow down, and hear what Jesus has to say to us and who Jesus really is. We gotta slow down. So the people said, oh, you're this, oh, you're that, oh, the other. And so Jesus listened to everything that the disciples had said, and then he turns it around and says, all right, that's fair, but who do you think I am? And that's the question for you this morning. Who do you say Jesus is? So it goes from a general belief to a very personal encounter. It goes from generalities to specifics. Who is Jesus in your life? This is not just a theological question. It's an invitation for you and for me to identify ourselves in our confession. Jesus is the Son of God, but he's much more than just the Son of God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He is the one I follow in life. We talk about Jesus, and sometimes we make him look like, some people make him look like just a religious leader of sorts. But when you really look carefully, Jesus is not just a nice religious leader. He's brilliant. He has the best information about any subject you can care to have. He is the maker of matter. Everything was created by him. The precision of creation, it's him. And it's amazing when you get to know him, you find that he cares about you and me above everything else. There's something about Christ being known in intimate relation with him that dispels the myths and the notion that he was just a guru, that he was just a leader of a religion. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It becomes part of your fabric, your everyday life. He's just not nice. He's brilliant in everything. And in him are all the treasures of wisdom and all the intelligence that you ever need. You can draw that from the Lord. The Lord can teach you anything you want to learn. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He's the best plumber, the best electrician. He's the best architect. He's the best of everything. Jesus is smart. He's brilliant. You got to ask him, Lord, help me. How do I resolve this issue? When you know him as the one who comes to you and helps you and blesses you and strengthens you, you get a picture of a Jesus that is removed from just Sunday morning church attendance. He is there brilliantly guiding your life. I mean, he's absolutely genius. He's so much of a genius, he created me. Okay, move on. He created us. We're part of his creation. So sometimes, who do you say I am? Don't wait for somebody to give you a secondhand opinion. Get to know him. Get to know Jesus personally and intimately, because he's right there with you. He's there in the good and in the bad. Amen. And he's there in between. Amen. God is there with you. Christ is always there. A man by the name of Barclay, who's a great theologian, said something like this. There comes a time when a person must face Jesus and say what he thinks of him. And opinions must become convictions. That conviction must become personal. We got to get into the habit of getting to know Jesus firsthand, not secondhand. To get to know him as the one who works in your life and in my life in an intimate way. That he's not just a figure of religion. That he's not just someone we come to on Sunday morning or we come to when we have problems. We go to him all the time. Because he is the truth and he's the life. And he is the door and he is the way and he's the bread and he's the life. He's everything. He is there to supply our every need. But more than that, he's there to walk with us and talk with us. We need to get a glimpse of Christ by ourselves. And not depend on anybody else to tell us about Jesus. Because you already know who he is because you get close to him. Now, how does that happen? Well, it's the gift of revelation. And the scripture says very, very clearly when Peter answers and says to Jesus, you are the Son of the living God, you're Messiah. Peter gets it right. But it was not due to human deduction that he finally came up with the idea, oh, you're the Son of God, you're the Messiah. It was revealed by God himself. The Lord spoke into him and he got it. He caught it. And I want you to know that we serve a God who reveals himself in the willing heart. We have a God that speaks to us in the moments of greatest stress and greatest peace. We need to have, you and I, we need to have this interactive relationship with the Lord. We need to bring him into the living room of our soul and ask the questions and receive his answers. We need to be in his presence in such a way that he reveals himself to us where we are, no matter what is going on. The heart of a true Christian, of a true disciple, God shows you and me who he is. But often we wonder in the deserts of our own imaginations and in the deserts of our despair and in the deserts of our ignorance, if I can use the term, and we do a make-believe Jesus that doesn't exist. But you know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has been given to us and that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you who Christ is. The Spirit of God reveals in the heart of the believer, reveals in the heart, our heart, who Jesus is at the moment that you need that revelation, at the moment that you're looking for, and even in the moment when you're not looking, Christ is always revealing himself to you. How does Christ reveal himself in you, in my life? Well, again, it's interactive relationship. It is an ongoing conversation with him. It's you know him on the road of life. You know him in the pain. You know him in your history. His fingerprints are all over your life. You need to see that. You need to see how the Lord has not abandoned you and has not left you. He's there. In spite of all the things that we go through. I'm so glad the Lord is not looking for perfect people. But we cannot use our imperfection as an excuse for not looking or wanting to know more about Christ. You can't say, well, I'm just dust. You know, I'm a sinner. You must push forward. You must understand that the Lord is interested in your life and he's interested in polishing you and helping you develop a relationship with him so that you can face the daily tasks of your life. Who do you say Jesus is in your way, in the pain, in your history, in your life? So when Peter responds and says, you are the Son of the living God, it was a cry of the heart. It came from the depths of it. But it wasn't mostly a statement made by someone whose eyes were opened. The Lord opened the eyes of Peter and he saw who Jesus really was. And you and I need to ask for that revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit through His Word to see who He really is in your life. Not secondhand, but firsthand experience. This is Jesus. Look at Jesus. Eyes opened by God so that you don't have to say, well, I believe in God because of so-and-so or so-and-so. We may be points of reference, but I'm saying and I'm inviting you to ask the Lord to reveal Himself in your life so that you can say, this is Jesus. This is Jesus working in my life. So we continue to think about the idea of a revelation from God. We continue to think about our giving ourselves in prayer, giving ourselves in the reading of the Word, seeking Him so that our life can make sense, so that we can see how He can rule in our lives and help us. And in every step of the way, you will find that Jesus speaks to you and helps you overcome what you can't overcome. The Lord is interested in helping you become the person you were always intended to be. But you must have your eyes open, your eyes, spiritual eyes open to see what He's doing. You see, you see the problem, but you need to see the master of the problem, which is Jesus. You go through this road of yours. You go through this issue. Get into that presence of the Lord and say, Lord, how do we resolve this? And the Bible tells us that He gives us grace. And grace is God's ability to help us do what we cannot do ourselves. There are things that you and I cannot do, ever do. But His grace enables you. He does it for you, through you. But He does it when you seek Him. He does it when you look for Him. He does it when you knock on the door. He does it when you say, I am going to follow the Lord. I want the Lord to take over this area of my life. When you seek Him with all your heart, then you will find Him. And this is what it's all about, growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have your own orientation and vision of Jesus and not secondhand stuff. Can I hear an amen? Because amen. The greatest issue facing today, brothers and sisters, is that we stop being religious and we become really men and women of relationships. Because, see, this revelation, this God opening your eyes is not reserved for spiritual elites. It's not reserved for people who have a call of God of some sort. It's for everyone. All of us need to walk closely to Jesus. And you do. But just a closer walk with Thee is the song, right? Get closer. For there are things in your life that the Lord will reveal and will strengthen you to resolve the issues that you cannot do by yourself. Let me just ask you a question. Do you have an issue that you cannot resolve by yourself right now? I got a couple. Yes, said he was one of them. Well, what about today? I mean, how do you resolve it? How do you go to your job? How do you perform there? You need Jesus to be there to help you, to open your mind. And as you walk close to Jesus, He will show you. And we've often said this, and I continue to say that discipleship, following the Lord, is not performing. It's abiding in Him, resting in Him, trusting Him. Silently, we spend time with Him. We read the Word. We meditate on His Word. We think through. We pray. We commit things to Him. And the Lord helps us to become people who follow Him. And then we are His students. We learn to follow Him. Lord, how would You resolve this issue? And then He will do it. How will You resolve this other issue? And then He will do it. And He does it on His own time schedule, by the way. And He does it His own way. And often He doesn't consult with you as to the method that He will use. But when you put it in God's hands, He will take care of it. Oh, Lord, open my eyes that I can see Jesus. Not the opinion of somebody else, but that I can actually say, I now have seen the Lord, and I know that everything they told me about Him is 10 times better because I've seen the Lord. We need to be more outgoing in this in our churches. We really do. We need to tell society today who Jesus really is. He's the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, the life. He is the fountain of life. He is the truth. He is the door. He is the bread of life. He is the vine. He is the Son of God. He is the high priest of our confession. We live in a world, a society that is living in an illusion, in a make-believe world. You go to the media today and you can go absolutely, totally bonkers. You need to expose society for what it is by showing who Christ Jesus really is. Jesus, I've experienced Jesus in my life, and this is who he is. I don't need anybody to tell me who Jesus is, for I have seen the Lord in my life. We're called to walk with Jesus. Somebody said in a very clear way that we were called to be with Jesus. We were called to become like Jesus. And we're called to practice what Jesus did. There is this whole process of getting to know the Lord intimately and profoundly, so that when somebody says, what do you think about Jesus? You can answer, I know who Jesus is because this is how I've met him. And this is what he has done in my life. I have waited on him and he's given me strength. I was absolutely in despair and he gave me hope. I was loveless and now I'm loved. I didn't belong, now I belong. The Lord has changed my life. He changed my life. He changed my life. He allowed me now to dance in the midst of the mystery of the world. But you got to have that experience. You got to get this revelation from the Lord. He's got to speak to you so that you can say, yeah, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. So you spend time with Jesus. You become like Jesus. And then you do the things that Jesus does. That's knowing God. That's getting to be a Christian in all the sense of the word. So being a Christian, it's not just simply believing in him, but following him every single day of our lives. We follow him. And we follow him in the midst of our pain. We follow him in the midst of our difficulty. We follow him sometimes in silence. I remember one time, one of our professors, very well-known guy, was sitting in his office doing absolutely nothing. And just sitting there. And so walked in and said, you're not doing anything? Oh, yes, I'm doing a lot. I'm in silence before the Lord. And he was in silence, just sitting there in the presence of God, doing nothing more than to be in silence in the presence of the Lord. God does more to you and to me when we spend moments of silence in his presence than all the blah, 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 blah. Amen. So we follow Christ in silence. We follow Christ reading his word. We follow Christ by slowing down. You know, speaking to the American church, you know, we're you know, the bunny rabbit, you know, running, you know, all over the place. We just don't run out of energy. We're going everywhere. Remember that. I'm going to go off script here, but I think it's important. I don't know if it's important, but I'm going to say it anyway. So you don't have a choice, do you? Yeah, you do. But basically, I remember one of the great scenes of this comedy, Taxi. Remember Taxi? Yeah. Remember the guy that was always high on something? Remember him? Okay. What was his name? Anyway, whatever. So he's taking a driver's test exam. And he's, what was it? Kramer, that's the guy. How many remember Kramer? Have you? Yeah, he was fascinating. So he doesn't know how he's going to pass the driver's exam. And so he's going to cheat. And so what he does is he goes and starts writing down the answers to the driver's test. And there's somebody close to him that is giving them the answers. And so they come to a place where he doesn't know. He says, what does yellow mean? And so the answer says, slow down. He says, what does yellow mean? Slow down. What does yellow mean? You remember, how many have seen that one? Thank you for not helping me. But anyway, slow down. He actually passed the test, but anyway. But slow down. Slow down. We're often given yellow lights in our life to slow down. Because here's the case. It's not up to you. It's up to him. And when we speed up, it's like we're taking control. Slow down in life. We follow him in silence, in scripture, in slowness. And that's how the Spirit of Christ reveals himself again and again in our lives. And we see pictures of the Lord working in our lives as we never thought possible. Well, I'm going to conclude. And my conclusion is your answer now. It's your turn. Who is Jesus to you? Not just in your mind, but who is Jesus in your marriage? You know, marriage is put down today in a terrible way. But marriage is the greatest invention that God ever had after he made Adam and Eve. Marriage is a holy thing. It's order of the Lord. Marriage is wonderful. And sometimes we belittle our marriage. We put down our marriage. Marriage, Christ is in the center, must be in the center of your marriage. He is the real glue that holds you together. The secret of a good marriage is the Lord. We were at Ryan's yesterday. That would be my niece and husband. And he spoke a few words. He says, I'm going to give you the secret of a successful marriage. He says, first, Jesus. And then he says, and there's no second or third or fourth. How is Jesus in your marriage? How is that holding up? How are you allowing Christ to reveal himself in your marriage? How is he there? How is Jesus revealing himself in your job, in your work, in school? Do you see Jesus popping up? Do you see his presence? Are you being called to compromise your stand? Are you still following Jesus in school, in college, in high school? Is Jesus there? How is Jesus in your school, in your school life, in your career, in your job? Is Jesus there? Or is Jesus on Sunday and then who knows what shows up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? And Cecilia's moving her head, yes, agreeing. Sometimes we forget the value of Jesus on Monday and how valuable he is on Tuesday. How valuable he is with our husband and with our wife and, may I say, our children. Who is Jesus to you? And I'll just mention one more. How is Jesus and your fears? Often we're driven by fear. And fear is the master. We fear this. We fear that. We fear the other. Someone came to me last couple of days and said, I'm so afraid we may go into a war. I said, Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of war, but it's not the end. Don't worry about it. He says, but we may go. Don't let those fears control you. Pray for the issue, but let Jesus take care of you. Do not let fear be the guiding principle in your life. Trust the Lord. Let him reveal himself. See, again, following Christ, it's not just coming to church on Sunday mornings. Following him in silence in scripture, in slowing down our life, allowing the Spirit of God to reveal Christ again and again and again in all those issues. In your marriage, in your career, in your fears, in the issues that you're facing today. Have you slowed down lately to hear what the Lord is saying to you? Because you got to slow down. You got to take time to be holy, says the hymn. You got to take time. You got to take time. You got to take time. Got to take time. I'll say it one more time. Everybody together. Not everybody said it, but you got to take time. You got to take time. We're not talking about God engulfing and taking away your great, precious moments that you covet so much. Every moment of your life is God-given. But give God the beginning of your day and the end of the day and in between the days and keep them present in your mind and in your heart. Paul says, pray without ceasing. In other words, keep them before you, in your mind, in your heart. Think of him all the time. I do. It's a natural thing for me. It is. And it's not necessarily, I'm going to now make God's presence available to me. No. It's he's there. He's in my heart. He lives in me. I everywhere I go, he's there. But I acknowledge his presence. The acknowledgement of his presence. Acknowledgement of his presence. So my question to you again is, who is Jesus in your life? Have you slowed down lately? Have you slowed down just to hear the Lord? Slow down enough to hear the Spirit saying, he is Christ, the Son of God. A couple of people said, mission is born from the encounter with the risen Christ. Not from a book of theology, but from the living presence of Christ who rose from the dead. Oh, imagine that. You get to see the risen Christ. Not a corpse. Not someone dying on the cross. But someone who says, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Amen. The risen Christ. He is the one that you meet. He is the one that should be revealed in your heart. A vibrant Christ. Maker of heaven and earth. Ready to hear you and ready to help you do, as I've said before, to do the thing that you cannot do by yourself. Amen. Sooner or later, brothers and sisters, you and I have to decide who Christ is in our lives. And you will no longer be able to say, well, the pastor said, or so-and-so said, or the book said, but you have to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know my Lord personally. Hallelujah. And you and I eventually, you're going to have to understand that you and I need to adopt a lifestyle of Jesus. No question about it. Not half-baked Christians. Not a Christian that says yes today and no tomorrow. A Christ that is willing to die and serve God. And that death is wonderful. Because it's Christ that died for you, and now you live for him, through him. He died for all of us that we may live. There's something about following Jesus and having his lifestyle that is liberating. It doesn't enslave you. And he says to you, he says to me, what do you want to do? He actually says that. And then you say, Lord, I want to do this. He says, I'll help you do it. Lord, I will trust you in my way. He says, I will guide you. Lord, straighten my path. He will do it. Lord, you know that I got a miserable husband. What am I going to do? I'm making that up. Lord, you know this wife of mine, the one that you gave me, Lord. You know what Adam said to God. You come to the Lord with those issues, and he strengthens you. He guides you so that you can love that husband and that you can love that wife. And what about your children? You commit them to the Lord, and you understand that God is at work in your life, for you're following him. And I know there are some in our church that their loved one has gone to be with the Lord, and you're alone, and you say, what am I going to do that? And the Lord says, I will be your husband. I will be your wife. I will take care of you. And the Lord comes into your life and reveals himself in such a way that there's a buoyancy and there's a strength in your life. You've got to go to the Lord. You got to go to the Lord and understand that he is there to reveal himself as you adopt a lifestyle that says, this is what Jesus would do if he would be here. This is how he would act. So I am finishing. I like you to stop from borrowing beliefs. I want you to develop your own personal set of beliefs. You need to return to that secret place. And if you don't have a secret place is that moment in your life where you seek God and you're all by yourself with God. You find that spot. You find that spot in your heart, inside of you. You all go through things. All of us. You don't have to be young or you have to be old. We all go through things. You need to go to that secret place where you can be with Jesus. And it doesn't take hours. It takes minutes. It takes a reorientation of life where you're pursuing God and not the world. Where you put the Lord before you and not the things that will vanish. Imagine this. I say this to the glory of God. I grew up in a beautiful town in Argentina. I had a lot of friends. And we played in the streets. And I would go in church. I would go into church. I would go on Sunday. Over there, Sunday was the church was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we would go there. And some of my friends wouldn't come with me because they were not wanting to, or they were not allowed to because we were not Catholics. But I stuck to the church, and I encountered the Lord, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I followed him in ways in which it's meaningless to the rest of the people. There was something inside of me that showed me that Christ was real. Nobody had to tell me. I knew the Lord was real in my heart. How many know the Lord is real in your heart? Here you go, see? Let me tell you something. By the grace of God, and only because of him, every single friend of mine from my childhood has died. And the last one died 36 years ago. When you have the Lord in your life, you have life. You have direction. When you don't have the Lord in your life, drugs take over. Bad habits take over. Really bad decisions in life. Because the enemy has come to destroy you, has come to invalidate you, has come to annihilate you, has come to make you bad, and wants you to just be defeated all the time. Christ says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And abundant life means knowing God, knowing Christ. And the way you know Christ is simply you spend time with him. And you allow him to permeate your heart so the decisions that you make are not based in the world, but they're based on the Lord's guidance in your life. What a life! Whoa, I'm telling you, when I go to Argentina, the only place I can go find my friends is a cemetery. And some of them are not even there. I'm telling you, you need to return to that secret place and be with Jesus. You need to hear from the Father. You need to hear from his word. You need to allow the Spirit of Christ to reveal himself in your heart, in your soul. He needs to speak to you. Not as someone of yesterday experiences, but not even an idea, but someone who's living in you and speaks to you and rekindles you. Some of you have been called to ministry and you walked away. Not maybe voluntarily, but because circumstances in life move you away. Some of you have made mistakes in life, and you got issues in your home. But no matter what you've gone through, the Lord has always been there. And all you need to do is simply return to that secret place, that place of communion of your heart with the Lord. He's there waiting for you. He'll never leave you. He will never abandon you. No matter what you've done, there is a Lord that when you on your knees seek him, you will find him because you will seek him with all your what? Heart. Well, let me conclude. This is the third time I say, let me conclude. Because the moment that Peter said, you are the Son of the living God, and Jesus is flesh and flesh has not revealed that unto you but my Father, then all of a sudden, this was going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you because it happens to you. It will happen when you get that insight, understanding of who Christ is. Jesus turned to Peter and says, Peter, your name is Simon, Jonah, Simon, but I should really read it. It says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. I know you're a human being. I know who you are. He says, but I'm going to tell you something. You are Peter. But upon your confession, I will build my church. Jesus gave Peter a new identity. He became a new person. When you get to see Jesus, you get to see yourself as you really are. We'll talk about that later. But I want you to know, expect a transformation of your life. Expect the Lord to change the tables. Expect the Lord to do something in you that you did not expect. Because Peter received this vision from God, this revelation from the Lord. He said, what has happened to you, this knowledge of who I am, is such, so powerful, such of such magnitude, that not even the gates of hell can prevent you from being whom you're supposed to be for me. I'm telling you, there's something about that secret place. You know, that secret place, I'm going to put this down. Secret could be at the car, driving your car, taking time with the Lord. That secret place can be cooking. The secret place can be before you go to sleep, before you wake up. It could be anywhere. You just take time to be holy. Take time to seek him. Say, Lord, I need you. And he will reveal himself to you, so no one has to tell you who Jesus is, because you say, I know him. He spoke to me. And again, he gives us peace and rearranges our life. Okay, I'm done. So Lord, push us, Lord. Push us, Lord. Let there be a desire in our hearts to know you, to see you. Lord, that we would have an experience with you that we've not had before. That the horizons of our heart will open up and we will see you not just as a religious figure, not just as someone who will save us and we will not go to hell, but as someone who walks with us and talks with us and speaks to us and guides us so that we can do your will. Lord Jesus, open our eyes that we may have a new, fresh life. Open our eyes that we may have a brand new marriage, that we may have a brand new home, that we may have a brand new set of children, that we will have a new set of parents, that our job situation would change dramatically. Oh, Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of everything. Open our eyes to see the possibilities of living this earth, Lord, helping us, Lord, to do what only you can help us do for your glory. Open our eyes, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Will you lift those hands and say, thank you, Lord, and open my eyes, Lord, that I may see, that I may see, that I may see. Let's do it one more time, Andy. Hear an amen. Amen. Church, this is the day. And be glad. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.